Appreciate a continued interest in your prayers and appreciate the message that Brother Asa has brought forth. In Acts chapter 12, we see that there's some folks that are having a prayer meeting here. And last week we talked about prayer and how that we're taught in Luke chapter 18 that we ought to always pray. And in James chapter 5, where it says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And here's some folks that they were having a prayer meeting here. And we're supposed to pray. And in our prayers, we're supposed to pray believing that God is able, God has the power, that God has the ability to deliver us. But I think you'll see a group of people, and these are a group of followers of Christ, a group of Christians, that as they were having a prayer meeting right here, even in the midst of their prayer service, they had some doubts. You ever found that when you're talking to the Lord, that Satan throws some doubts in? That you not only wonder if God's even hearing your prayers, but you wonder if God really cares or if God is going to consider your need or deliver you? Or do you ever say, well, I know that I'm not really deserving of His delivering me because I've already gone to Him many, many times before. He's already delivered me in the past, and here, why would I come to Him again? I'm glad that He doesn't think the way we think. I'm glad His ways and His thoughts are higher than our ways. I'm glad that He doesn't rebuke us when we pray unto Him and when we cry unto Him. But He is a compassionate God, and He's God of mercy, and He's a loving God. And He delights to hear the prayers of His people. Acts chapter 12. You'll see that they were having a prayer meeting. In fact, there was several prayer meetings that were going on. And as they were praying, they didn't realize it. But while they were praying, at the same time they were praying, God was actually answering their prayers. And they didn't realize it. And sometimes when we're praying, we think that God has to do it in our order. That we pray, God answers. And in some cases, God is already answering the prayer. Maybe while we're praying it, and maybe even before we start praying it, God is answering prayers. And here there's some folks that are praying, and God is already answering their prayer, but we're still instructed to pray. We ought to always pray. Now, in Acts chapter 12, it says, about the time that Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. The Jews had a great desire to vex those that were in the church. Herod wanted to please those that were delighting in vexing the church. And so Herod, I don't believe he himself was doing it, but he sent folks out to do it. He sent his men out to do it. He sent out his workers to do it. It's interesting that some folks have a dislike for certain things, and some folks have a hatred towards certain things, but it's amazing how that the ungodly has a complete hatred toward the things of God. A complete hatred toward the Church of Jesus Christ and toward Christians. And when you would think that they might just distance themselves from it, there's actually a complete hatred. A hatred to hinder the work, a hatred to destroy the work. And here it says that was the desire of Herod. Verse 2 says, he killed James, the brother of John, with sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to take Peter also. Now, if you go back to Acts chapter 5, you'll see that Peter and the disciples were already in prison, and that's where they are right now. That's where Peter is right now. And you'll see that Peter, this isn't the first time that he landed in prison for the preaching of the gospel. In fact, my pastor, Elder George Johnson, used to say, he said, I expect when Paul or Peter or the disciples went on a preaching trip and they went to a certain city, the first place they checked out was the jailhouse. Because they knew that they were probably going to end up there. They knew that very likely they would end up in jail for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, Peter had already been there, and he had already been delivered in the past from this experience. And it says that Herod killed James, the brother of John, with sword. He desired to do the same to Peter also. And it says, and when he had sent his men, when they had apprehended him, he put him into prison, and he delivered him into the four quadrants of the soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. And Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was wont to be made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Now, they weren't having prayer in the church house. And they weren't having prayer only in one person's house. They were having prayer in different church members, different church families' houses. Folks were gathering and they were in prayer. And it says that they continued in prayer. I've heard of some folks that when there was a particular need, when there was a particular tragedy, a particular need, that different ones within the church would set aside a time and they would say, my family's going to be in prayer from 9 to 10, and another family will be in prayer from 10 to 11, another family from 11 to 12. And I'm not sure exactly how the arrangement was, but it appears that there's several different groups of people in different areas that are praying on behalf of Peter. I'd like to think that if Brother Asa and I travel to New York City or to Boston and we're preaching the gospel, and something that we say in the preaching of the gospel opposes those that are around and we end up in prison or in jail, I'd like to think that you all were praying for us. That you'd be gathering some groups together and you'd be praying for Brother Asa and I. That'd mean an awful lot to us. One of the sweet experiences that I'll take with me the rest of my life, that was such a precious time, was when I was preparing to possibly come to Bel Air, to Maryland, to move here from Texas. Came several different times. Brother Malcolm was the spokesman, generally, for the church. And he called and he told me, after the church had prayed for 30 days, he said, we've met together and we've voted. And he says, it's unanimous that we're going to call you to come pastor the church. Will you come and pastor? And I've traveled up here several times and been here upon several different occasions. And I said, well, I'm going to have to ask you to ask the church to pray another 30 days. He said, what? I said, I need you to pray another 30 days that the Lord, if the Lord's put it on the heart of the church, that He'll put it on my heart as well. You see, I had family in Texas. In fact, I already knew where I was going to be buried in Texas. I'd spent all my life there. Pastored a church there. And I wanted to know more than anything else that it was the Lord's will. That it wasn't just because I love the people, I love the trees, I love the hills and things that we didn't have down there, but that the Lord was in the matter. And so during that time, something real special happened that ministered to me back then, and it still ministers to me today. Brother Don said, why don't you come back up and spend a few weeks? And when I did, he had it set up, already set up. Here's some different ones that it happened. I think the first one was over at Sister Laura Warren's house up in Shrewsbury, Pennsylvania. He said, we're scheduled to be up there tonight. And Sister Laura's invited all of her family and friends from that area to come and visit. You can ask them questions. You can talk to them. You can pray and have a time of fellowship. He set it up at his house, at Brother and Sister Malcolm's. Folks came from that area as well, down in Baltimore. Different ones set up in different areas, and their family members came together. And it meant a lot to me because I could see that they were desiring, as a church family, they were praying that God would bless them with the pastor. That touched my heart. And then to cap it off, one of the last ones that we went to, several in different areas, Shrewsbury, Pennsylvania, Baltimore, Delaware, in Maryland. The last one was up at Brother Steve and Sister Kathy's. And the Lord ministered in a special, special way there and convinced my heart. But what was so special about it was that you could go to this person's home and they'd bring their family members together and their friends together. And they were all praying and desiring the same thing, that God would bless them with a pastor. You'd go down into Baltimore, meet with the group, and you'd find that that was their same desire, that God would bless them with a pastor. You'd go up to Delaware, another group of folks, not even the same folks that had been over in Pennsylvania, but another group of folks had met together, and they had the same desire, that God would bless them with a pastor. That touched my heart. I'm sure that it touched Peter's heart to know that while he's in jail, there's a group over here praying for him. There's a group over here praying for him. He probably knew that the Smiths are praying for him, the Joneses were praying for him, the Browns are praying for him. And I'm sure that helped him an awful lot while he was in jail. I know he had a peace about it, because it describes that he was sound asleep. I don't know about you, but it doesn't take anything very big for me to worry on it, and it'll affect my sleep. Maybe it doesn't yours. Peter was fast asleep. And I know that he had a peace because he wasn't sleeping in a comfortable position. He had a guard on this side, and this right hand of Peter's was fastened to the left hand of a guard on this side. On this side, there was another chain that was on this arm, and on his left hand, it was attached to the right hand of another guard on that side. So I can't imagine how uncomfortable it was. But Peter was fast asleep. Wonder if Peter knew that God had taken care of him in the past, and right then God gave Peter a great encouragement and consolation in the Lord, even in the jailhouse. Look at what it says. Herod's desire was to kill Peter, and that was very clear. Now, if Peter knew this, wouldn't you think he'd be anxious about it? If he knew that his head was on the line, that his head was going to be on the chopping block, that his name was next, that his number was up, you'd think he'd be pretty worked up over it. Yet Peter was fast asleep. It says that while Peter was in prison, prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. I don't care if you pick an hour from 9 to 10, 10 to 11, 11 to 12, and say the Mosleys are going to pray for this hour, the Smiths are going to pray for this hour, the Humes are going to pray for this hour. I don't care how it is, how you do it. It's encouraging to know that prayer was made without ceasing from the church of God. They didn't have to go to the church house. They could do it in their own homes. But prayer was continually made on behalf of Peter. It says they were continuing to pray. Prayer was made without ceasing. And it says that while they were praying, says that Herod was going to bring Peter to him. That night, Peter was sleeping between the two soldiers, bound with chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Now, I want you to see if you can get a picture of this. Not only was Peter somebody on one side, a keeper of the prison on one side, another one on the other side, but then there were several layers of guards that were in front of him. So if somehow he escaped these two that were holding him there, they still had to get past a couple of different guards of layers. And so they were watching as well. So it says that there were two soldiers that bound with two chains, the keepers before. They also kept the door of the prison. And it says, behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him. Did you know that God still has angels today? That God has angels that are watching over you and watching over me. You've probably had experiences that you knew without a doubt that you couldn't explain it. That you knew that you were spared in some miraculous way, and you couldn't explain it other than to know that there had to be another power that, in addition to your own ability or lack of ability, that was taking care of you, that delivered you out of it. God still has angels today taking care of His people. There's a whole lot going on behind the scenes that you and I can't see, don't know anything about. Elder Cecil Daugherty, who used to preach here at Mount Carmel, able minister, preached the gospel until he was up in his 80s. And Elder Daugherty, he had a habit of dozing off while he was driving. And he lived in Georgia where there's crooked roads and these little hills. And he said he was traveling home from a church meeting one day. And he said he dozed off as he was traveling home, and he said his car went off the road, and it went completely off the road. It went through a grove of trees, and he said over an incline. And he says as it landed back on the road, he says he awoke, and he said, I stopped the car. I was so shaken, I stopped the car, and I walked the path that my car had traveled. And he said, if I had been wide awake, there's no way I could have driven that car through that path. I believe there were some angels that took the steering wheel, and he was convinced about angels after that. He also, from that point on, when he was going on a long preaching trip, he took the Greyhound bus. He referred to it as the gospel dog. Behold, the angel of the Lord came unto him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side, and he raised him up quickly, saying, Arise quickly. And his chains fell from off his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself, bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said, Cast off thy garment, cast thy garment about thee, and follow me. Here a miraculous experience happened to Peter. He went out. It says that the chains were loosed from him. The angel instructed him, gird yourself and bind up your sandals. And it says he went out and he followed with him. And he wished not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought that he saw a vision. He couldn't really explain it. And sometimes you have things that you just can't explain. Sometimes there's something that happens that there's a power, there's a force, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ watching out for you, and He's using these ministering servants, His angels. And He says that He didn't know but what He saw a vision. And it says when they were past the first and the second ward, the watchmen that were there, they came out unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which openeth to them of his own accord. And they went out, and they passed through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. It was miraculous. The chains that were on his arms were loosened. Either the guards that were there were, maybe they were in a trance themselves, maybe they were in a deep sleep themselves, but Peter was able to arise and to walk out with guards on both sides of him. Peter was able to go to the door, and the angel had already loosened the door, and Peter went through it, and the guards that were there either were in a trance or they were in a deep sleep, but he walked right past them. And it says that Peter himself, he didn't know but what he was seeing a vision, if he was in a trance, he didn't know exactly what all was taking place. But it says that when the angel instructed him to follow him, he followed him out. And he says he went past the two guards, the first and the second ward that were there. They came to the iron gate of the city, and it was opened unto him of his own strength. And they went out and passed through one strength. And it says the angel departed from him. I'm glad that angels are there when we need them. They're there when we need them. And I think we kind of need them all the time. I think we kind of need them when we know we need them, and I think we kind of need them when we don't think we do. And then it says, and when Peter was come to himself, he says, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hands of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." Peter knew himself, God's delivered me. Peter knew himself, God had sent an angel. If you ever had something happen to you and you knew that somehow God had delivered you, and it didn't matter what anybody else thought. It didn't matter, you weren't there to try to convince somebody else, you were convinced. It didn't matter what other people thought, it didn't matter whether they believed it or not, you knew that God had intervened in your situation. That's what happened with Peter. Peter said he knew that the Lord had delivered him. He knew that God had sent an angel. There was no doubt in Peter's mind. Now, Peter wasn't always that strong in his faith. But I expect, Peter who knew the Lord, I expect if you'd had an experience like that, like Peter had, that his life was on the line, the chains were somehow loosened, somehow the keepers of the prison were in a trance to where Peter could walk right out past them, that you'd realize that God had intervened and he had delivered. It says that when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. If I was in prison and I had an experience where I knew that God had intervened and I was delivered from out of it, probably the first place I'd do is go over to the Mosley's house. Probably go over to the Irwin's house. Probably go over to the Eepin's house. Probably go over to the Cook's house. The Parker's. Because I'd want to share with the folks the blessings that I'd experienced of the Lord. And I'd want to share with them that your prayers have been answered. God has delivered me. God's heard the prayers. God has answered the prayers. But I want you to look at this group of folks that were praying. Because I think it describes us. There's a part of us that's on the inside that we believe. There's a part of us, there's that seed within, that spiritual man that's within us that it will never die. But as long as we live, if we live to be 80 or 90 or 100 years old, there's this old natural man that we carry around with us as well. That natural man's filled with doubts. It's filled with questions. It's filled with unbelief. It listens to some of Satan's accusations. Some of Satan's questions. Here you've got a prayer meeting going on in a home, praying for a particular need. And it says that he comes to the house, and it says that he came to the house of the Mary, the mother of John, and Mary was apparently an old sister in the church that she was given to hospitality. And maybe her house was adequate to accommodate a gathering of people where they could come there and they could pray, and they were praying on Peter's behalf. And it says that as he went to the door, it says that as he went to the door of the house, that when he got to the door of the house, they were praying in the house. Isn't that a blessing? When the church at Southampton was looking for a pastor and desiring that God would bless them a pastor for years, they began to meet 30 minutes before the song service started. For example, if the song service started at 10:30, they met at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings. And for that 30-minute window, they would simply pray to God that He would bless them and send them a pastor. At the time, they met at 4 o'clock in the afternoons and they would for services, and they would meet at 3:30 to have prayer. I can't tell you how many times that we would get there, and we wouldn't get there in time for the prayer service. Maybe a van load of folks from Mount Carmel would travel up there, and we wouldn't get there in time for a prayer service, but we'd maybe walk in about 3:45 or 3:50 in the afternoon after driving from Mount Carmel. And I can't tell you how many times that we would walk up to the building, and you could see inside the building, you could see in the windows of the building, and you would see a congregation there with their heads bowed, begging God to send them a pastor. As I mentioned to you, they thought that God would probably send them one from the South, because that's where most primitive Baptist preachers come from. But He raised one up right in the midst of their flock, right there while they were praying that God would send them a pastor. I'm sure if Peter was able to look in any of the windows of Mary's house as he walked by and saw the folks gathered around and their heads bowed praying, I'm sure that was an encouragement to Peter. But look what happens. They're praying. They're doing the right thing. And it says that Peter knocked at the gate of the door. It seems like there were maybe two different layers of a gate and then a door, maybe a foyer of some sort. But it says that Peter knocked at the door of the gate, and it says a damsel came to hearken, and her name was Rhoda, a young girl, probably maybe 12, 14 years old. A young girl came to listen. Now, as they were praying, as they were talking to the Lord and as they were praying, she went to the door, and for fear maybe that the Jews would come in and break up their prayer meeting, maybe arrest some of them. It says that when she heard the knocking at the door, she went to the door and she listened. Some folks have the little peepholes you can kind of look through and see if you really want to let that person in or not. She went up there and she was listening to see if she recognized the voice. And it says that when she went, it says she knew Peter's voice, and she opened not the gate. She didn't open the door for gladness, but ran in and told how that Peter stood before the gate. I don't believe she saw him, but she heard him. And it says that she was so excited. Here's this young girl that was so excited that Peter, that the prayers had been answered, that Peter had been delivered. She was so excited that she ran back into the little prayer group, the congregation, and she told them, she says, "Peter's at the door." Have you ever been, has something ever happened to you that you've been so excited that you even forgot to do what you were supposed to do? She should have opened the door for Peter. She heard that it was Peter, and she was so excited that she even forgot to let Peter in, and she ran back to the congregation, to the folks that were praying. Sometimes God gives young folks a special blessing that He doesn't give us old folks. Sometimes they're encouraging in ways that maybe we've had enough blows and knocks in life that we're more doubtful. Here, when she heard Peter's voice, she said, "That's Peter." She didn't try to explain it away. She just simply went and she said, "That's Peter." And look at what happens. It says she goes back and she's so excited. She goes back and she runs to tell the group. Now keep in mind, here's this little group, and they're humbly gathered together praying on Peter's behalf. They're probably praying for his life, praying for his safety, praying for his deliverance, praying that God will strengthen him, praying that God will calm his anxiety. All this time that they're praying, God's doing His work behind the scene. I'm so thankful that He doesn't wait until we pray. I'm thankful that He's not bound by our prayers. I'm thankful He's not hindered by our prayers. God was doing His work even before the folks started praying on Peter's behalf and while they were praying on Peter's behalf. In fact, Peter was released from the jail while they were praying. And look at what happens. It says that she ran in and she told him, she said, "Why, Peter's at the door. You're praying for him? He's here." Look at what they said. But they said to her, apparently they stopped the prayer meeting long enough, they said, "Well, you're mad. You've lost it. You don't have it together. Anybody here ever try to explain away the deliverances of God?" Here this young girl said, "It's Peter." She knew it. She believed it. They said, "Well, you're mad." And she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Didn't hinder her. She said, "It's Peter. I'm telling you, Peter's at the door. The Lord's delivered Peter. He's there at the door." And of all things, rather than the little prayer group realize that it might be Peter, after they had said, "She's mad, she's lost it," then they said, "Well, it's not Peter, it's his angel." All this time, Peter continued knocking, and it says, "And when they had opened the door, they saw him, and they were astonished." No matter if God hasn't answered our prayers in the past the way that we think that they should have been answered, we ought to come to Him over and over and over again. And we should pray that in the midst of praying to Him, that He would bless us to pray believing. These folks were praying. These folks were going through the motions. They were talking to the Lord. But even while they were praying, God was delivering. God was sparing. And then when the blessing of that deliverance came to him, came to them, even when it came, they doubted it. Even when it came, they tried to explain it away. They said, "Well, she's mad. Or it's not Peter, it's his angel. It's anything but Peter." When in essence, God was answering their prayer while they were praying. I want to encourage you. You read the rest of the story. It's still real good to go through the 25th verse, the rest of the story here. Don't quit praying. Don't doubt when you're praying. But pray realizing
that God's deliverances, they're not based on our strength. They're not based on our abilities. They're not even based on our convictions, but they're based on Jesus Christ. It's His strength and His power and His deliverance working in and through our life. If we think about our own abilities when we're praying, then we're going to get discouraged. But if we go before the Lord and we say, Lord, You know the situation. You know it far better than I do. I may only know it on the surface. You know it on the inside. You know everything there is to know about it. You know where I am. Maybe it's a loved one. Maybe it's a parent. Maybe it's a brother, sister. Maybe it's a child. You know what the need is. Lord, not by my strength, but by Your strength. And Lord, when I have some doubts, and when I have some unbelief, and when I have some discouragement on the way, Lord, would You help me in the midst of that? And Lord, would You help me to be strong in You? The Apostle Paul said, I can do all things. I'm glad he didn't limit it. But it's all things that God would have us to do. He says, I can do all things. Some things we ought not to do. But all things that the Lord would have us to do. He said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. When you've got doubts, when you might be like these folks that are praying, they're doing the right thing, they're praying. But when we're praying, we ought to pray believing. If we have unbelief that creeps in, these were good folks. These were church members. These were brothers and sisters in Christ. These were folks that really and truly desired the well-being of Peter. Yet they had some doubts. When you do, pray that God will remove those doubts. He even knows if you have the doubts. I don't know about you, but sometimes I've prayed, and while I'm praying, I can tell that I think, is He really going to hear this prayer? Is He really concerned about this particular need? Well, He is. He's concerned about every one of His people. They're precious to Him. Just want to encourage you to pray and pray believing. May God bless you.